You have your Bibles this morning. You want to turn with me. This is in John chapter 14, and we're going to begin to read in verse 1. It says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me." And the reason he's telling them not to be troubled, because he had just told them what's going to happen. He told them he's getting ready to be betrayed, and that he would be turned over, and he would be beaten and scourged and mocked. And he was telling them that where I'm going, you cannot go with me. And they were troubled by this. What do you mean we can't go with you? And of course, we know the brassness of Peter and the other disciples. This is, man, wherever you're going to go, we're going to go. Even if we have to die, we're going to go. And Jesus has to tell them that, you know, you're going to be scattered. You're going to deny me. What? How in the world could I come to the point in my life that I would deny you, Jesus? I've walked your ministry with you. You've taught me everything that I need to know. And yet you're telling me that I am going to deny you? And he says, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me three times. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. This is why he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You see, because this disturbed them. Sometimes the truth of God disturbs us. Guess what? It should disturb us. It should not be sugar-coated. It should not come with any festivals or man gimmicks. I guarantee you there are more people at an Easter egg hunt than there are on worship service this morning. When you can add the Beaster Bunny or Santa Claus, you can bring the people in by droves. Because to them, what Jesus did on the cross means a lot different than what Jesus really meant going to the cross. And that makes my heart troubled. I, true, as a pastor, have a troubled heart. As you, as a child of God, should have a troubled heart. Because when you read the scriptures and you know what's going to happen in the lives of people that do not know him, truly know him. I'm not saying know about him. I'm talking about truly know him. He goes on to say, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. You know, if it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and I'm going to receive you to myself, that where I am there, you may be also. So he's trying to comfort them. He's trying to encourage them that what they're getting ready to experience and their life is about to change dramatically, that don't worry, I'm coming again. He goes, and you know the way where I'm going. Well, Thomas, who we've labeled him as what, the doubting Thomas, because he says, I'm not going to believe until I stick my fingers in his side and his hands, and then I'm going to believe. I don't call it doubting Thomas. I call it a Thomas that wants to make sure. See, you better make sure that you have what you say you have. Because it has to be given to you by the Father. You can't get this in any way. There's nothing you can do, nothing you can say, no matter how much you study. It is a gift. And a gift is something that is given without merit. So Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How do we know the way? You see, he was thinking that there was a physical direction, that there was something that he could tangibly see and tangibly get on and follow Jesus the way down this path. He didn't understand what Jesus was about to tell him. You see, all the scripture is about spiritual stuff. And the spiritual should dictate the physical. The physical can never dictate the spirit. And Thomas didn't understand. They didn't know. What do you mean? Show us this way. And I love Jesus' answer. Jesus said to him, I am the way. I'm a path. I am that place that you're looking for that leads to somewhere that you have no knowledge about. I am the way. Isn't it interesting that he didn't say that he is a way? But he said the way. See, Joel Osteen a few years back had the opportunity to share this to the world because he was on national TV. And I asked him about this. Tell us about this Jesus that you believe in. And he said, well, for me, I go to God through Jesus. He said, but the rest of the world and the other denominations and the other, like Muslims and the Hindus, he says, God can do what he wants with them and they can go to God any way that God chooses to bring them. Instead of saying, I'm sorry, world, but there is only one way, and that way is through Jesus Christ. Instead of standing on the Word of God, he's played the card of being not offensive. The Word of God's offensive. The Word of God is not politically correct. And that's why our world is throwing it out in the times that we live. That's why we're changing all the stuff so that the world can accept the lies of the world. So Satan is the author of all of this. As he shows himself as that angel of light to blind you. See, when he is considered to show himself as an angel of light, he's using his light to blind you, not Jesus' light, which guides you. See, Jesus, the light, he says, I am the light of the world. He's shining in on the darkness so that you will know, not to blind you so that you won't know. And that's what's happening with religion. So he says, I am the way. He says, I'm also the truth. So anything else that you hear or anything else that you believe. And see, a lot of people believe in Jesus, but they don't believe the truth of Jesus. It's one thing to believe in Jesus that, oh, he existed. Yeah, he lived a sinless life. You have no proof of that, by the way, but you believe it. But if it doesn't affect your life, and belief doesn't allow you to get saved, then the belief you have is not in the truth. And a lot of people believe in Jesus. Did you know the demons even believe in Jesus? And they shudder. You know why they shudder and you don't? Because they understand the spiritual realm of what's going on and what God is trying to show mankind. I'm the truth. There's no other truth. It doesn't matter if man changes it or not. God, Jesus had established the truth of God. It wasn't his truth. It was the truth of God. He says, I'm the life. Wow, I'm the life. You see, you have all these people say, I'm going to give my life to God. What life do you have to give to him when you were born dead in your trespasses of sin? So if the Bible says we're dead, then what life do you have to give to him? Matter of fact, it's a very arrogant, egotistical statement when someone says, I gave my life to Christ. Because they're shining the light on themselves. Look at what I've done. Instead of what Jesus has done. And to take his glory and put it on yourself is a tragedy. Because you have the wrong truth and now you don't have the life either. It says that Jesus quickens us to life through his death and his burial and his resurrection, that we are quickened to life. And we're sealed with that life through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. No one. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one comes to the Father but through me. A truth that people don't want to hear. There's got to be another way. So we'll believe different things about Jesus, because as long as I believe in Jesus, I'm going to heaven. No, your belief in Jesus does not take you to heaven. See, when you believe in something, you begin to study it, and it becomes a part of your life. If you really do believe in something, then it affects your life, right? To the point where you find out all about it, right? When you don't just believe in something, but when you really believe it, it affects your life. And this is what it means, and he says, go out and make disciples. Disciple is not a child of God. A disciple is no one other than someone that follows someone's teaching. That was the purpose of the church, is to institute the teaching of Jesus Christ in our world. What are we teaching? The Scripture. The Holy Scriptures, which were inspired by God for the sole teaching, so that man would have a light shone in their darkness, so they would know who they are and where they stand before Almighty God. That was the purpose. It wasn't, and we talked about this about in Sunday school, is one of the big fallacies of the churches today, is they want to tell people, well, don't do this because it's wrong. Don't do this because it's wrong. Don't do this because it's wrong. Jesus never wrote the Scripture so that man would not do these things. Did you know that? Did you know that God never wrote the Scriptures so that you would not sin? He wrote the Scriptures so that you would know that you're in sin. See, but the church says, well, don't do this and don't do that. And so you got people out there in the flesh trying to not do this, trying to not do that. And then all of a sudden they get too comfortable and they come and hear a preacher say, oh, man, just as long as you give your life to Christ, and as long as you give some money, and as long as you go mow the neighbor's yard, man, you're okay. Well, you're not. My responsibility is to tell you you're not okay. He wrote the Scripture so they would know where we are at, because we cannot not do those things. And if we do one of those things, we're guilty of all of God's law. The condemnation of mankind has already happened. He saved us to be the light of the world so we could be truthful to the world and tell what Jesus wrote. We're not going to tell our own story. We're going to tell the story that God says you tell. Jesus said, I didn't do this on my own initiative. And I only speak what God tells me to speak, and therefore, why can't man just speak what God speaks? It's a tragedy. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to begin in verse 13. This is a very tough passage of Scripture. A lot of people don't like this passage of Scripture. A lot of people will not embrace this passage of Scripture. A lot of people will not ask God, are you talking about me? You see, God is interested in each and every one of you here. And when we preach and teach, it's not about someone else, it's about you. And you need to engage with the Holy Spirit and ask, God, are you talking about me? Because arrogance will keep you from saying, God, are you talking about me? This is where that angel of light comes and blinds you, and also gives you all these good reasons why you think you're a child of God and you may not be. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. A narrow gate to a narrow way. The way of destruction is broad and there's many on it. You see, the Baptists are on that road to destruction. The Methodists are on that road to destruction. The Catholics are on that road to destruction. The Protestants are on that road to destruction. The Muslims are on that road to destruction. The Hindus are on that road to destruction. You better be sure that you're not on that road to destruction. You see, you're born on that road. You don't have a choice. This is the road that you're on. It's wide. It's got enough room for everybody. It's comfortable. See, when things are narrow, you're cramped, not comfortable. Wide roads are very comfortable. You got enough room to do anything and everything. And there's many on that road. Matter of fact, as we read the scriptures, you'll find out that most are on that road. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are only a few who find it. We've allowed our world to believe that all they got to do is believe. Belief does not save you. Belief is part of the process of salvation. Discipleship is part of the process of salvation. It's through discipleship that you're taught by God. And when taught by God, you begin to hear. Where does faith come from? Hearing. Where does hearing come from? The Word of God. And I'm talking about spiritual hearing. I'm not talking about you hearing me this morning. I hope you don't hear me this morning. I hope for one time in our lives that we sit there and say, God, speak to me during this message and allow me to know. You don't need to hear the preacher. You need to hear the Word of God. There's going to be a lot of folks that think they're going and they're going to stand before him and we're going to find out and they're not going to be there. And that's a tragedy. The tragedy is because we're allowing folks to believe man's opinion and man's take on God's word instead of what God's word says. He even goes in the next sentence and says, beware of the false prophets, those false preachers, those false people giving testimonies about a Jesus that doesn't exist, who come to you in sheep's clothing. You know why they come in sheep's clothing? Because there's no awareness of them. They come in and they tell you things that, wow, this... You know, the love of God. I mean, he's loving. He's all loving. He's waiting there for his arms, waiting for you to come. I don't find that in Scripture. Where do you find that in Scripture? Somebody please show it to me because I've obviously missed it. God doesn't need me. I need him. And what he's trying to tell us is that, man, you need me. And you got to do it the way I say you do it. You can't do it the way man says you do it. Just like we read in Exodus, those people that didn't follow that to the exact, if they ate it at the wrong time, they didn't put the blood up there right, they didn't get their firstborn died. And now you can't say, well, God, why'd you do this? See, we blame God for way too much stuff when he's written it very clearly. So when you stand before him and he says, depart from me, I never knew you, you can't blame God. And by George, you're not going to blame this preacher either. Beware of the false prophets. Be on guard. Be alert. Be sober. How many times in Scripture does he tell us to do that? You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles are they. If you plant an apple tree, what do you expect to get? Pears? Lemons? Grapes? No, when you stink and plant an apple tree, there better come an apple off of there. When God saves someone, he expects the fruits of the Spirit to be growing in your life, and he expects to bring those to maturity. So every good tree bears good fruit. Every bad tree bears bad fruit. See, the bad fruit is those things that we think God wants us to do. The only good fruit is what God says you're going to do. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Go look up the fruits of the Spirit. It's about character. It's about who you are. It's about what, not what you're doing, but who you are. And who you are should dictate what you do. What you do will never dictate what you would love to be. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's just what it is, folks. There's very few that's going to find it. And the way they find it is because Jesus is a light who illuminates the path for you to go down. And if you don't follow the path that he sets forth for you, you're not on the road. You're not on the right road. And it's not going to be a comfortable road. But who does the will of my Father? He's the one that's going to enter heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not go on mission trips? Did I not go to the Baptist Theological Seminary? Did I not become a missionary? Did I not build Habitat for Humanity houses? Did I not put my money in the offering plate? Did I not preach every Sunday? Did I not teach in Sunday school? Come on, God. You got to look at what I was doing for you. Surely that merits something. Don't you see, God? It's about me, not about you. These folks cast out demons. I guarantee you, not a single one of you have cast out a demon. I tell you, that's a whole lot better than any mission trip you can go on. They were casting out demons in Jesus' name. We've become so comfortable in our false religion and our false world and our false Jesus that doesn't exist that we have forgot to tell people that what it's really about. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, win the kingdom of God, but those who does the will of my Father. And the will of the Father is to believe in the Son of Jesus Christ, who he sent. And you believe his words that he has spoken, that you must repent of your sins for the forgiveness of sin. But we prophesied in your name. In your name we cast out demons. In your name we performed many miracles. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's the reality of it, folks. It's not a prayer that you say. But it's a drawing of the Holy Spirit. It makes you pick up his word and spend time by yourself. See, there's a lot of people in the word, but the word never gets in them. And see, that's that angel of light that comes in and blinds you, that because you're in the word, see, it's no different than performing miracles. Well, God, I'm in the words. I'm reading it every day, but you still may not be saved. This is a gift from God. And if his Spirit does not bear witness with your... No one ever tells me that when they say they're saved. They always say they're baptized, or they go to church, or they do on mission trips. Just like these folks that stood before God, they tell me, that's the only answer I ever get. I never get the answer. You know what? His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And the fruits of the Spirit are growing in me, which makes me useful to God. That is the only answer that God will accept. And the only recognition that God has of you will be, is the Holy Spirit in you, and have you been cleansed by his blood, and he see the blood of Christ, period. But see, we're too prideful. See, we need to be like the disciples when Jesus said, you're going to betray me. And each one of them said, Lord, is it I? So I challenge you this morning to say, Lord, is it I? And then do your due diligence, and that is to pick up the scriptures with that expectation that God will bear his witness with you. And if he doesn't, you're not his child, and you're going to die and go to hell. And that's how simple the gospel message is.